Well, dear students, were you scared enough about options to stay far away from them?
Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you see how much money you can lose with futures contracts. But futures contracts actually are important to our economy and play a significant role, except for us. We'll see who they are useful for. For us, they are pure speculation and dangerous speculation for that. And so we turn to Mr. Mark Twain, who knew a thing or two about speculation. He said there are two times in a man's life when he should not speculate: when he can't afford it and when he can. And he learned the hard way. Mark Twain, the writer, knew what Samuel Clemens, the author, didn't know. I'm sorry, Mark Twain was the writer, his pen name, but Samuel Clemens was his real name, and he could afford it, but then he lost everything speculating. So he understood that you should never speculate whether you can afford it or whether you can't afford it, because he famously invested in things that were just total hogwash and lost a lot of his fortune to it. Oh my goodness. So let's take a look at what are futures contracts. Well, again, it's hard to say futures contracts three times fast, so we usually just say futures. It's a commitment. It's another contract to deliver a certain amount of some specified item at some specified date in the future. So a buyer and a seller specify a commodity. Well, that's what they started with, commodities such as wheat, soybeans, cattle, pork bellies, gold, oil, copper. And then they move to the financial world. You now can buy and sell futures in financial assets. So the buyer and the seller specify a commodity or a financial instrument to be delivered and paid for when the contract matures. And the futures price is like the exercise price, the strike price with options. It's guaranteed by the contract. We started with commodities, and these things have been around for hundreds of years, folks, so there's nothing new about futures. And then really, recently, well, in the next 40, 50 years, they have moved to financial assets. So what is the purpose of these things? Why are they around? Well, think about it, folks. We urbanites living in the big city, maybe never even seen a farm, or if we did, we kind of smells funny. We kept right home driving past it. But the producers of commodities use futures contracts extensively in their course of business. So you say you're a wheat farmer in Iowa, and you plant 1,000 acres of wheat in April. Now, I don't know if 1,000 acres is going to produce 500,000 bushels of wheat. I'm not a farmer, but let's say it does. He knows that if all goes well, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, come September, he will have 500,000 bushels of wheat. Today, in April, when he plants, and he just put the seed in the ground, September wheat futures are currently selling for $6 per bushel. So he can sell his wheat via the wheat futures contract while it is still in the ground. He can guarantee a price that will result in a profit for him. The contract states he will deliver the wheat in September and receive $6 per bushel no matter what happens to wheat prices. So you see what's going on here? He's selling the future. Now, does it make sense? Well, you could think of it like insurance. He knows that he's going to make money if he sells it for $6 per bushel. But what if the price goes to $9 or $10? Oh, well, he guaranteed the $6 price. What is he protecting himself from? What if the price goes to $3 or $2? $2 or $3? And this is why you don't want to be a farmer, folks. It's a very tough business. The rains come at the right time, and the sun shines, and the bugs don't come and eat everything, and everything's doing great. It's a bumper crop. What happens to the price? Right, you're not the only one. Everybody else's crop is a bumper crop, and now the price plummets. Boof. what do you get for, what kind of reward is that? You did really well, and the price plummets. Or the rains come at exactly the worst times, and there's no sunshine, and the crops are rotting and there's mold and bugs and there's no wheat to sell. The price skyrockets because there's no wheat to sell. So it's a very tough business, folks. Farming is a very tough business. So that's why we live in the big city and plant our garden, and we don't have to worry when the tomatoes get the whatever to get and get eaten by the bugs. But you know what? They're not the only one of you. They're not the only ones. The farmers, the producers, the consumers of the commodities also use them. Your Kellogg's or General Mills or Post cereal. You know you need tons and tons of wheat and corn and soybeans each year to make cereal and other foodstuffs. So via futures contracts in April, you can purchase that wheat to be delivered in September and pay $6 per bushel no matter what happens. Cool. You know you're going to be able to make money if you can buy all that 500,000 bushels of wheat for $6 a bushel. What are the advantages and disadvantages of using futures contracts when you're the producer and when you're the consumer? Well, you're essentially buying insurance. You are locking in a price that you believe will allow you to make a profit. What's the disadvantage? You're locking in a price, right? So that if the price were to go up if you're the producer or go down if you're the consumer, oh well, you know, you made the contract. Futures contracts allow producers and consumers of commodities to hedge. Now, we used this term before, didn't we? Hedging means taking a futures position opposite to your existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. So you hedge your bet. Have you heard that saying? Hedge your bet. The farmer's protecting himself from wheat prices falling because he's got a lot of wheat to sell, so he's already sold it. He's took a position opposite to his position. He's has the wheat, he's already sold it now. The cereal companies are protecting themselves from wheat prices rising. They need the wheat, they've already bought it. They are hedging. They are, you can think of it like insurance. I think sometimes that really does help. It's kind of a type of insurance. And there are just dozens of these commodities, folks. These are just a few of the major ones in food and fiber, livestock and meat. And some of you might have seen the movie from the early 80s, Trading Places, where they use pork bellies and orange juice futures as sort of a joke. But they really are. What are pork bellies anyway? That's what they make bacon out of, and everybody loves bacon. Precious metals. We talked about gold, palladium, platinum, rhodium. We will talk about them. Palm oil, rubber, wool, copper, nickel, molybdenum, tin and zinc, very important metals, aluminum, and then hardwood and softwood. And then, of course, electricity and oil. Of course, you hear the price of oil. The oil futures have gone up 15% or whatever. They're not talking about the price of oil today. They're talking about the price of oil typically 3 months. They usually quote the 3-month futures. So that's oil that's going to make its way to the delivery point, and they have certain delivery points where they have to bring the oil to, 3 months from now. And then it has to be refined. So you hear that the price of the futures oil has plummeted, and you go, well, how come it's still so expensive at the gas station? Well, it's going to take months before that oil makes it to the gas station. It's got to get to the place where it's going to be refined, and then it's got to be refined, and then it's got to get to the gas station. So it takes a while. These are future. We're buying the future. We're selling the future. Cool. I think these are really, I mean, I've never worked for a major consumer or a major producer. I've never dealt with these things, and I certainly don't want to speculate them, which is what we're going to do next. We're going to talk about speculate on them. But they certainly are fascinating when you think about it because, you know, we live in this little bubble, we live in a little home. We don't think about the larger issues in the economy, but they're there, and you may get a job. Who knows? You might get a job in rapeseed, whatever that stuff is, buying and selling the futures for a producer of rapeseed or a consumer of rapeseed. What are financial futures? Well, the financial world adopted the technique of futures contracts to financial assets, treating financial assets like commodities. Financial futures contracts work similarly to commodities futures contracts. But instead of wheat and corn and soybeans, you're now buying and selling currencies or interest rates or stock and bond indices. I will deliver $25,000 worth of British pounds to you next April. Or I will purchase $10,000 worth of the Standard & Poor's 500 stock index from you next August. You see what's going on here? They're looking at stocks as a bushel of wheat. And it can be very useful. It can be very useful. For those working in the world of finance, and especially the world of international business, these can be very useful tools. A car manufacturer knows that it will need 50,000 engines. Here in the United States, a car manufacturer buys their engines from Japan next October. So they can buy a currency future for $20 million worth of Japanese yen payable in October, right? So they don't need it for several months, next October. So they buy the currency future so that they can lock in the dollar to yen conversion rate. This protects the manufacturer from the adverse currency fluctuations. For example, the dollar falls relative to the yen, and if it falls, you know, substantially, now it's not $20 million. Now they have to come up with $27 million or whatever. You know, how many zeros go after the big number? But so you see how they're protecting themselves? Now, what happens if the dollar gets stronger? Oh, well, they bought insurance they didn't need. But that's the world of futures, financial or commodities. Can anyone purchase futures? Lucky you! You don't have to work in either the commodities world or the financial world to buy and sell futures buy and sell futures contracts. You can be a speculator. You simply buy and sell the futures contracts. You never actually deliver or take delivery of the commodity, nor the financial assets. You could buy the 500,000 bushels to be delivered in September, even though you live in a condo in West LA. You've never even seen a farm. Now, what do you think of this strategy, huh? What is the limit to your losses? Incredible amount of money can be lost. Speculating is accepting the future's price risk without having a position opposite to the existing position in the underlying commodity or financial instrument. You sold the wheat as a farmer, but you had the wheat in your ground and in your farm. It's going to come up and you're going to sell it. You bought the wheat if you're post cereal, but you're going to need it to build to make all the cereal. Speculating is the opposite of hedging. Now, this is a boring introduction to textbook statement. And I won't say which one because I don't want to get sued. But future speculation is risky, but it is potentially rewarding if you can accurately forecast the direction of future commodities price movements. What? Can anyone accurately forecast the future? If our LA speculator sitting in her condo had purchased the futures contract for 500,000 bushels of wheat to be delivered in September and wheat prices plummeted, she could potentially lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. So guess what? If you get involved in these Forex and these foreign exchanges and these commodities exchanges and doing futures, your broker is going to be watching you like a hawk. And as soon as you start losing a significant amount of money, they're going to come after you like crazy. They're going to say, you better bring up more cash or we're stopping you out of this. We're getting you out of this transaction and you've lost already $5,000 and then we're not going to let you lose any more. Because if you disappear, right? If you just decide, I'm bankrupt, I can't pay all this money that I owe, they're on the hook for the money. They're basically the broker. They're acting as your representative, and they're guaranteeing that, yeah, this person can come up with the goods, and if you're sitting in your condo, you can't buy 500,000 bushels of wheat. You don't have any place to store them. So who wants you to do these things? Well, there's the biggest, most active futures exchange is the Chicago Board of Trade. Well, that makes sense, right? Chicago's the place where all the cattle and livestock and all the wheat and the corn all came to be then sent around the world. But there are many other exchanges that buy and sell these things. And we'll discuss long and short in our next chapter in detail. Well, the buyer of the futures contract is long. They're the person who's protected from future price increases. That's the Kellogg's, the Post cereal, the consumer. The producer is short. They're the seller of the futures contract. And folks, again, you don't have to remember all this. The questions on the exam, final exam, are already out there for you to look up. But we'll discuss, this is the person who's producing it. This is the farmer who's protected against decreases. We'll discuss the terms long and short and their significance in detail when we get to our next chapter, because they are important, if only to protect you, again, from getting involved in this stuff. As we said, instruction about syphilis is not an instruction to go get syphilis. And the same thing is true about futures. Slide 12. Futures seem like options. Yeah, in fact, the two are very similar. Financial futures work very much like options. There's a potential for great rewards, but there is also much more of the likelihood of sustaining great losses. Much more likelihood, we should say, much more likelihood. In fact, the potential losses from future contracts are staggering. And just like options, they're a tremendous source of commissions for your broker. Your broker will love to get you hooked on gambling. I mean, speculating on these things. And, oh, by the way, you can purchase options contracts on futures contracts. You know it had to happen, right? If the broker can make money, they're going to make it available to you to do. Oh, we're just giving our clients more opportunities to make us filthy rich. Where are the clients' yachts? Where are the customers' yachts? That's actually a book that's written a long, long time ago, but it was making fun of Wall Street in that the brokers all had yachts, but the customers didn't. Slide 13, final comments on futures. Yeah, you know what I'm going to say, right? Stay away from them. They are even more potentially dangerous than options. Oh, yes, they are. And your broker, as we said, is going to be keeping a very close eye on you so that you don't lose too much money. Because if you lose a whole lot of money and disappear or declare bankruptcy, they're on the hook for the lost thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yeah, and it happens. It does happen. So that's our discussion of futures contracts. Short and sweet, right? Because for the most of us, prudent, long-term oriented investors, they are not something that even should be discussed in polite company. But because you are investment gurus, you are there to protect your family and friends and coworkers and colleagues when they say, ooh, I'm going to start buying and selling futures. I heard this guy told me on the internet that I can make a ton of money and he's going to sell me the futures. And you'll know what to do. You know to describe the difference between investing and speculating. And speculation is gambling, and it's not something that we prudent long-term investors ever want to do. Cool? I'm so proud of you. We're in the home stretch, folks. In our next chapter, we'll learn two more ways for our brokers to separate us from our money. Buying on margin, which may be something that in the future you might want to do. Maybe, maybe not. But selling short is another speculation that is very dangerous. And it's something you just should never, ever do. And if you don't believe me, listen to Peter Lynch, who racked up 29% between 1977 and 1980 as the mutual fund manager of Fidelity Magellan. He says never short a stock. And who am I to argue with Peter Lynch? See you in our next chapter when we learn how to buy on margin and sell short. Well, we learn never to actually buy on margin or sell short, but you get the idea.